Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. We're glad to be with you on the radio broadcast today. We are continuing to share with you on the subject of prayer. God wants us to see our prayers be answered, and we are sharing with you on the subject of why our prayers do not get results. What would cause our prayers not to get results in our life? God wants you to get results, and it's important to realize if we eliminate these problems, then we will see that our prayers will get results. The ones that we've talked about so far are not praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, not praying to the Father. We approach the Father and we pray in the name of Jesus. You know, we were taught that we are to now pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We do not pray to God. We do not pray to Jesus as such. We do not pray to the Lord God, which is Old Testament prayer. We do not come and just pray whatever we want to. We do it to the Father in the name of Jesus. A third thing that we talked about was a lack of understanding righteousness. We must understand that we've been made the righteousness of God, and because we're in right standing with God, then now we can see our prayers get answered. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. We've been made the righteousness of God. Now, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A fourth thing that we talked about is lack of confidence. You need confidence if you're going to see your prayers get results. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly or confidently unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain or take hold of mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 literally says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask or legally demand anything according to his will, that's the word, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, you can have this confidence. If you know he hears you because you have prayed the word of God, whatsoever you ask or legally demand, we know that we have those legal demands that we legally demanded of him. A fifth point that we talked about is the area of having sin or iniquity in our life. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We must deal with sin in our life. And remember, what's the answer? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And of course, we need to repent and turn around and walk in the ways of the Word of God. A sixth thing we talked about was unforgiveness. We need to be sure that we do not have any unforgiveness in our heart. The Bible says that if we have aught against any that our Father in heaven, then he will not be able to forgive us. If we forgive others their trespasses, we will be forgiven. But if we don't, then we're not going to see our own sins forgiven. And that scripture in Mark 11, 25 and 26 that we looked at says, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We must forgive at all times. A seventh thing is disharmony between a husband and a wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands and wives, you need to be in harmony, in line with the Word of God, putting the Word of God first place in your life. And you are to walk according to the knowledge of God. You are heirs together of the grace of life. And if you do not be in harmony and you allow yourself to be in disharmony or let strife come in, then your prayers will be hindered. Now we're going to continue with that. We were just talking in the end of the last broadcast on the eighth area, and that is a prayer will be hindered if we are always praying the problem instead of the answer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, he said, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. God has knowledge of what we need before we even come and ask, and that's the word aiteo, make a legal demand. Otherwise, you don't need to pray your problem. He already knows your problem. What is the purpose of prayer? Prayer is going to release the ability of God to bring the promise of God to pass. We are praying, that's a legal transaction in the Spirit, to bring into manifestation the will of God that already belongs to us in Christ. All the promises are already ours. So what is going to be the answer? Pray the answer from the Word of God. Don't pray the problem. You know, you don't need to sit there and repeat all the problems you have and go on and on and on. It's almost kind of complaining and such about the circumstances. Instead, come to the Lord and in the name of Jesus, speak forth the Word of God. Start praying to the Father in the name of Jesus and speak forth what the answer is. And this brings us to the next area. Why prayers would not get answered is the ninth area of not making a legal demand in prayer. We've talked about this at length in our broadcasts. When you pray, you do not make a request. You do not come and request to see if God will do something. You don't come and ask with the attitude of requesting. You come and make the ask as a legal demand. You are making a legal demand of what is due you by returning the Word of God. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask or legally demand the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, or up to this time, you have asked or legally demanded nothing in my name. Ask or make your legal demand, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. A tenth area is not praying a prayer of faith. You need to be sure that you're praying a prayer of faith, not just praying something and hoping that maybe God will respond. A prayer of faith sees results. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, and that's the word aiteo, meaning make a legal demand. When you pray, believe that you receive them. That word receive is lambano. Believe that you take hold of them, and you shall have them. The prayer of faith involves you praying and making a legal demand and taking hold of it, and also having thanksgiving coming forth. There's two aspects to the prayer of faith. When we pray, we're going to believe that we take hold of the promise of God. Remember that Matthew 22:21, where it says, all things whatsoever you ask or legally demand in prayer, it says, you shall take hold of that your joy might be full. Praise God. That talks about it in John 16:24. You're going to take hold of that promise, and then your joy is going to be full. Another scripture that goes right along with this prayer of faith is Philippians 4:6. Where it says that we let our legal demands be made known unto God with thanksgiving. It's very important that the other aspect of the prayer of faith is thanksgiving. When you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, you make a legal demand, you take hold of the promises, you believe you take hold of it, and you do it with thanksgiving. So you start out with thanksgiving. So be sure that you're praying a prayer of faith. If you're not praying a prayer of faith, then you're not going to see the answer, because you are to take hold of the promises of God with thanksgiving. The 11th area is if you are praying a prayer and you kind of put a tag on it of if it be thy will. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus was here and it says he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He prayed a prayer of essentially submitting to the will of God. Now, when would you pray that kind of prayer? He prayed that prayer in submission to the Father's will. Otherwise, if there was any other way that he could accomplish the redemption, it was up to the Father. And the cup that he talked about was the cup of death that he was going to go through. He was going to be taking the cup of death, going through the avenue of death. But that was the only way in order for him to get to the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and to take back the keys of hell and death. He had to go through that avenue. But notice, he was submitting not to his will, but as whatever the Father would want him to do. Now, in line with praying for the will of God to come to pass in your life, that prayer would be fine if it's something that you don't know for sure of what God would want you to do, and you're more or less submitting whatever you want to do, if it be thy will. But if you're talking about praying concerning a promise of God that's already revealed in the Word of God that is yours in Christ, you do not pray if it be thy will. For example, let's say you're praying for healing. Well, the Bible already says that he's the one who heals us of all of our diseases. He already said it's his will for us to be in health. He already said that Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes you were healed, that healing's already been accomplished. So if we pray for healing by coming to the Father in the name of Jesus and declaring the Word of God and believe that we take hold of it as we're praying the answer, and then we say, if it be thy will that you heal me, that shows that we are really denying the promise of God. We don't pray, if it be thy will, prayers concerning the revealed will of God regarding what's already shown in the Word of what Jesus has done for us. The promises are already ours. We don't pray, if it be thy will, in those situations. We only would pray that kind of a prayer if we're submitting to the Father to see if there's any other way he can accomplish something. And that's essentially what Jesus was doing. A 12th area is the area of doubting or wavering. Your prayers will not get any results if you doubt or waver. In James chapter 1, it talks about making our legal demand in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you're wavering in your prayer life, you're just driven this way and tossed to and fro. You are not going to be able to receive from the Lord. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive. For that word is lambano. Let not that man think that he shall take hold of anything of the Lord. And of course, that's what we're doing in prayer. If we understand accurate New Testament prayer, we understand that we are making a legal demand and we are taking hold of the promises of God. So doubting or wavering should never occur in our life when we know what we're doing. Mark 11:23 also says that when you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things which you say will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. It's very important that you don't have doubt. You cannot move your mountain if you're doubting. So doubting and wavering needs to be eliminated from your life. If you doubt and waver, you're not going to be able to take hold of the promise of God, and you are not going to be able to see your mountains be removed in your life. It's important that we pray accurately. So we're going to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus as the righteousness of God with confidence, having dealt with sin or iniquity in our life, no unforgiveness, no disharmony in our home. And we're going to be praying the answer, making a legal demand, believing we take hold of the promise of God, knowing the promise of God, not declaring, if it be thy will, regarding the revealed will of God. We already know it. And we're not going to doubt or waver. We're going to believe we receive. We're going to be steadfast, single-minded on the Word. And we're going to declare His Word. And we're going to know that He's going to bring it to pass in our life. We're going to talk more on this next broadcast. We'll see you then. God bless you. As I close today, do you realize that the number one negative influence in your life is inherited generational curses? This is because the iniquities of the forefathers are passed down to the children to the third and fourth generations. These curses enforced by demonic spirits must be broken and the spirits must be cast out. We break inherited curses and cast out these spirits in our Healing, Deliverance, and Counseling Center. If you would like personal ministry, please call 268-WORD. That's 268-9673. And now, until I greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a doer of the Word of God.